Let's all settle back and watch the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that listens to you. When given the choice, he presses one for English. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, guess who's here? It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am so happy that it has joined our little gathering. And when I say little, I might be talking about a large number of people. It's never possible for me to tell for sure how big our audience is. But I want to welcome all of you to our Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, because I am happy to see that people are interested in dealing with Medicare. It's unfortunately problematic for a certain segment of the population. Oh my God, what am I going to do? What if I make a mistake? What if I have a, what if they come and arrest me because I violated some obscure regulations? Well, I can help you get past all of that fear and trepidation and feel better about Medicare as you approach it and as you have to decide what you are going to do. And I can help you by offering you the opportunity to buy my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. If you go to barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com and put Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023 into the search window, you're going to find the latest edition of the book that has helped thousands and thousands of people feel better about Medicare. And some of those thousands of people contact me and say, Doug, I've read your book. I loved it because it made me feel confident that I can get through Medicare in better shape than I ever thought possible. So when you finish reading the book, that would be your course of action. Contact me and say, look, I'm ready to think about enrolling in Medicare. What else should I do? How should I do that enrollment? And how? What else do I need to think about before I'm completely finished with Medicare? And then I describe all the things that they can do to head into the Medicare Garden of Eden, so to speak, with a confident attitude and to come out on the other side with a secure protection against medical bills that could get out of control if one isn't protected against them. So go to amazon.com or barnesandnoble.com and put that title into the search window. Be sure and put in the 2023, and you'll find yourself reading the newest, most current edition. And for newest and most current, I normally look elsewhere, but in this case, Randy Carson is sitting right in front of me, and he looks like he's almost new and sort of current. Randy, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great.
I'm pleased to hear that.
As I warned you earlier, I know the audience can't see me, but I almost had to put a tie on today.
Yeah, you've got a shirt that's prepared for a tie insertion if it became necessary. How did you dodge that bullet? You had what you thought was going to be an important Zoom call, and you were mentally prepared to put a tie on, and then what happened to save you from that fate, that horrible fate?
Well, I talked to my wife, who is a lot more in tune with the expectations of those types of things. And I said, do I need to put a tie on? Well, first I said, do I need to put a shirt on? And she said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you're going to be podcasting and Doug doesn't want to look at your naked body.
That's right. So I said, okay, I'll put a shirt on. Do I have to put a tie on? No, you can do without a tie. So that's how I ended up with this dress shirt. I guess it's a sports shirt. I guess back in the day, I probably told you this, back in the day when I was a banker, this wouldn't have qualified for a shirt to wear to the bank.
Oh, no.
But they had to be full, out and out.
Well, long down,
sleeves. Long-sleeved, embroidered, shirts.
Oh, sure. That was the same in the insurance business in the Loop in Chicago, which is the center of financial activity in the, you know, business center in Chicago is the Loop. They call it that because the L train, the subway, comes up from underground and it goes overhead in a big circle in that part of Chicago. So if you're inside the Loop, then you have more strict sartorial requirements to adhere to, unlike around your house where you thought you might have had to put a tie on. But you don't have long sleeves on that shirt. So I think a lot of people would say that's not suitable for office wear in a financial, financial neighborhood or like in Boston, if you went to the home office of the John Hancock back when I was there.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, that wouldn't work. So, but now I know why they call it I never knew why they called it the Loop.
Oh, well, you should have made that a question. I would have looked like a genius. The insurance expert. Yeah, if you look at any map that's kind of a close-up of downtown Chicago from the lakeshore in to where the stockyards used to be, you're going to see a circle, an oval, actually, of L tracks. We called it the elevated railroad. It's a narrow gauge railroad, very noisy and squeaky and old, but that's why they call it the Loop, because the tracks go overhead in a big circle around that financial district.
Well, you know, like I told you, Doug, I never fail to learn something new from you every time we have a podcast. I like to consider myself the trivia expert.
Yes, well, you certainly are. I'm just
that's
trivial.
That's going to be one thing I'm No. So I'm going to file that away in my information about Chicago.
Well, cool. Listen, we had another encounter you and I did that led to some content on the podcast, and that is artificial intelligence. So I just wanted to warn our audience that we're going to be touching on artificial intelligence. I didn't realize it would be so personal, so important to you from a prior friendship. I would have actually studied the material I have more completely so that I could talk more intelligently about it. But let me throw in a couple of other odds and ends. First of all, in Texas, the Texas Blues and the Oklahoma Blues are very proactive about letting us know when their Medicare Advantage plans networks change. And when they have negotiations with a contracted supplier of medical services that aren't going well, they seem to be very proactive about announcing that this doctor or doctors or this practice of medicine is going to leave their networks. And they have to warn the people that are stuck with that Medicare Advantage product, because if you've got a Medicare Advantage product, the company, the insurance company, like in this case, Blue Cross Blue Shield, can make all kinds of changes that turn that product into something that you never would have bought and something that you're sorry you own, but you won't be able to do a thing about it until the end of the year when the time comes for you to pick a new plan or to examine the idea of picking a new plan. This is why every year, starting October 15th, there's a stampede of people, dissatisfied Medicare Advantage clients looking for new plans, and there is a smaller stampede of insurance agents rushing to get them signed up so that the federal government can dish out huge amounts of money, shovelfuls of money in commissions for those who buy Medicare Advantage plans. So that was a preface to announcing that Texas Vista Medical Center in San Antonio is closed. And then below that, now it says Texas Vista Medical Center. Then below that, it says Steward Healthcare. And they notified Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas that it closed Texas Vista Medical Center. Okay, so Steward owns Texas Vista Medical Center in San Antonio. And on May 1st of 2023, the hospital closed and transferred all of its patients to alternate facilities. So they go on to say, we will work with members who may need to find a new hospital. Members have several ways to find in-network care. But the whole point of this is you, as a member of a Blue Cross Blue Shield of Texas Medicare Advantage plan that had doctors at that hospital or relied on that hospital being in business for convenient treatment, you're going to have to find new hospitals, and perhaps it will be convenient, perhaps it won't be. But this is another warning about Medicare Advantage plans not being ideal or people who want stability in their Medicare relationships. I have a piece of correspondence from a woman who wrote me a few months ago and asked for Medicare supplement quotes. And I thought this was interesting because I didn't hear from her for a long time. And I wondered what she was thinking about, what transpired and everything. And she says, "Hello, Douglas. I have made up my mind about a few things. I want to compare prices for Plan N and Plan M. This was news to me. This is the first time I've ever heard of it. Now, Randy's giving me thumbs up because he has Plan N. But what I have done is I have talked about Medicare with people in terms of Plan G, which is the richest plan for people coming into Medicare, and Plan High Deductible G or High Value G, which is the most cost-effective plan. And N falls somewhere in the middle. So I just haven't concentrated on it because I'm trying to simplify things. But Randy already had Plan N when I met him, and he is quite satisfied with it. And I can understand that because it is a Medicare supplement. It's still better than every other Medicare Advantage plan out there. So I'm not denigrating Plan N at all. But this nice lady has asked me for rates for Plan N and Plan M. So I went to the various companies that I have, and I looked for rates for Plan N, and I wrote them all down for her. And then I looked for rates for Plan M, as in Martin, and I swear not one of my favorite companies sells Plan M. It's been a long time since I've even looked at Plan M. I think it's more complicated than it has to be, so I certainly haven't concentrated on it, but I was surprised that Plan M is not an option at any of the insurance companies that I offer to my clients. So anyway, she said, "Well, I'd like to see what the rates for Plan N and Plan M are." And she goes on to say, "And then I need to purchase a very low-cost drug plan because I don't take any drugs. I haven't since I was in my 20s, and I don't ever plan to do any drugs again." Now, that's a very, she's got some kind of relationship with the drug companies that I don't understand, but Randy's going, well, he's making funny cartoon things going on the other side of the screen. I got to stop looking at him so that I don't burst out laughing. So anyway, she goes on to say, "I may be interested in a simple dental and vision program also." And then her final statement, I am not interested in Plan G or High Deductible G. And those are the ones that I showed her the costs of a few months ago. So she is not interested in anything I show her. So I showed her all the plans N that I was able to show her. I showed her a couple of different dental, vision, and hearing plans to see if she liked those. And then she wrote me back the next day and she said, "Hey, you know something? I'm kind of interested in Plan G. She said, "I'm interested in High Deductible Plan G. I just read that it might be the best deal going, and I want to find out what that would cost." So I did send her more rates for High Deductible Plan G from those same companies, and I'm waiting to hear her response. But if I am asked by a potential client what Medicare supplement plan they should consider, I would say to them the two to consider are going to be the most expensive, the richest one, the security blanket plan, which is Plan G, and the most cost-effective, the skimpiest, the most the streamlined plan. The big horsepower GTO of Medicare supplement plans is the High Deductible Plan G, or the High Value Plan G. Those are the two at either end of the spectrum. If you want to go someplace in the middle, that's fine. But right now, those are the two that I start our conversation talking about. So this lady is apparently got her thinking cap on, and she is going to continue to cogitate. And then eventually, I hope she arrives at a decision that she can live with and that I can live with. I know I'll be able to live with it, but I will sell her whatever Medicare supplement plan she wants. And if she wants Plan N, that's what she's going to get. So what do we have about artificial intelligence? I started collecting artificial intelligence articles And when I told Randy that we were going to be discussing or touching briefly on artificial intelligence today, because I don't want to bore anybody to death, Randy told me about an old friend of his and that old friend's grown daughter. And he talks to these people fairly frequently. And he said he was surprised that they had the reaction that they did about artificial intelligence. Now, this guy was a head of security at a large Omaha bank. Is that right, Randy? Yep. And his grown daughter stops over the house every time Randy calls. That seems like they're in the middle of a family gathering. So somehow the subject of artificial intelligence came up during your last call, and their negative response frightened you, I guess, huh? Do they have any rash?
It was really a shock. They responded very quickly and very, very positively, very, very positive negatively. That's probably a double whammy sort of a statement.
I got whiplash on that one.
They both are, and I don't know exactly why, but they are very, very, very much against it in any way, shape, or form. So it's interesting. I have a conversation with these folks, good friends of mine for over 50 years. I'll certainly have more conversations with them in the future, and I'll do a little more detailed digging see just exactly what prompted that.
Yeah, because right now they're in the banking business. He's retired from the bank that Randy used to be with. He was the head of security. Is that correct? And then his daughter still works at that bank in some sort of technical technical job with the bank. But so it's not like they don't know the banking business, and they haven't just snatched an opinion off the wall without having given it some thought as it relates to their particular business. But the artificial intelligence articles that I'm in contact with here have to do with the medical industry and how the application of artificial intelligence might change the way diseases and so forth are treated and, you know, perhaps identified. And that's going to have a huge effect on insurance. If insurance companies find a way to, a cost-effective way to treat disease that's very successful, then we're going to have a reduction in insurance costs. Often we don't have a reduction in insurance costs because the treatments that come down the pike are hugely expensive, and the drugs that come down the pike are hugely expensive. The government causes some of that expense by demanding that drug companies do test after test after test after test with thousands and thousands of people. By the time a drug company releases a new drug, if it's effective, they only get to have a monopoly on that drug for a short period of time, a few years, until it goes into its generic phase, when any company can clone that drug. And this is why I'm so sympathetic to the drug companies. Sure, they charge a ton of money, but they are trying to make up the cost of their research and development. And they're always bringing out new drugs or searching for new drugs. So I think it's the government is causing part of our expensive problems in trying to protect the American people. So the article that's on top of my little stack here about artificial intelligence is Florida Medical Technical Company launches a novel AI test for prostate cancer therapy. So they're going to use artificial intelligence to develop an effective prostate cancer therapy, they think. Their first ever predictive test helps doctors choose personalized treatment for patients. Now, I've always been kind of uncomfortable with the fact that if a guy is diagnosed with prostate cancer, sometimes the best advice a doctor has is, don't worry, you'll probably die of something else. The prostate cancer is so slow growing that it's not going to kill you. And frankly, my father-in-law was told that by his oncologist, who was a kid that I grew up with, and I might have told him to find a different oncologist, but they had a good working relationship and they liked each other. And so I think my father-in-law probably had good treatment, and he died of prostate cancer. Now, it took many years, but it wasn't true what the oncologist told him, that he wasn't going to die of prostate cancer, that he would die of something else. He actually died of the prostate cancer. So I go on to read this article. Prostate cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death in men in the U.S., with an expected 288,000 cases and 34,000 deaths expected in this year, 2023, according to the American Cancer Society. Now, that's a lot more than pancreatic cancer, but pancreatic cancer is more deadly. So fewer people get pancreatic cancer, but it kills 90% of the pancreatic cancer patients, whereas prostate cancer seems to kill a much smaller percentage, like 15%, it seems as though, from this article. And artificial intelligence-based health technologies, as they continue to advance, a growing number of medical tech firms are looking to use artificial intelligence, AI, I'm just going to call it AI from now on, to improve patient outcomes. One of these is this company, Artera AI, a firm in Jacksonville, Florida, that develops medical AI tests that help personalize therapy for cancer patients. Now, as we heard with the pancreatic cancer vaccine that seemed to work well in a small test, personalization of the therapy seemed to be the key to success for that particular vaccine. So among the company's solutions is the Artera AI prostate test, described as the first of its kind for patients with localized prostate cancer. Could a urine test detect pancreatic and prostate cancer? Study shows 99% success rate. I think we would have been reading that on the front pages of the newspapers. That seems like a come on there, but I digress. For each patient, the test looks at two pieces of information, a biopsy of the cancerous tumor and certain clinical data. From that, it will predict the likely outcomes for the patient and help the physician to determine the optimal therapy. The process is simple. The clinician orders a test from the website and then ships a biopsy sample to the company's lab. Can't wait to get the page turned. After the AI analysis, the company sends back a report. We are the first ever predictive test in localized prostate cancer that can help a clinician identify the best treatment for a patient. See, that's what I want to hear, because prostate cancer isn't a real scary killer. It's so widespread and so slow moving. But what is the best advice? What's the most effective test? We are the first ever predictive test in local prostate cancer. Okay, I just read that. Most men diagnosed with prostate cancer don't need to rush to surgery or radiation treatments. The test focuses on both prognostic and predictive elements. The prognostic side helps the physician determine the long-term outcomes of the patient. The predictive part is what helps to personalize the individual therapy for the patient. So this company's test offers the advantage of fast turnaround times, its CEO told Fox News Digital. Let's say that you're a clinician and your patient has been diagnosed and you're considering whether or not you should intensify their therapy. And you're wondering, is this therapy intensification actually going to benefit my patient, or is it simply going to lead to additional toxicities? Our tests can help you determine that. This AI prostate test also offers the advantage of fast turnaround times, he added. From the time the sample is received, there is a 1 or 2 day turnaround for the clinician to get the test report back. Most conventional technologies take 2 weeks to process. So let's see, the test in action. Ohio oncologist sees benefits. So this Dr. Dan Spratt is an Ohio oncologist at the Cleveland Medical Center. He began using their prostate test last year after his patients are diagnosed, typically by scans, biopsies, and/or PSA levels. He sends samples with the test to determine which treatments will be most effective based on the patient's data and the aggressiveness of the cancer. This AI test takes the tissue from a man's biopsy and digitizes it, and then runs a highly sophisticated algorithm using artificial intelligence to tell you how best to personalize therapy. There are other tests available that take the tissue and extract some genetic material from it, but this particular test uses a non-destructive method, so the tissue is still intact and can be used for other things. One of the things we struggle with in prostate cancer when a man is sitting in front of me is, how do I know if he's a patient that I don't even need to treat or a patient who might die of the disease? That's a very good question that a doctor has to be able to figure out. We rely on our doctors to know the answer to that question. And so that's a big struggle, he says, to have these conversations with patients with the tools we use today, which are moderately accurate. He said that having a tool that's highly accurate really makes it easier to recommend treatment. There's this extra confidence now. So the CEO of that AI company said he believes that artificial intelligence is going to revolutionize healthcare for the better. He said, I think it'll make healthcare far more ubiquitous and really enhance our providers and be scalable in a way that conventional techniques have not been. He does not expect the technology to replace medical providers' jobs. What this company does in no way affects anybody's livelihood or job. Our test fits into the clinician's workflow, so after a patient has been diagnosed by a pathologist and a physician, when an oncologist or urologist is trying to determine how best to treat that patient, our tests will help them make that decision. He said, we're strictly complementary to their work. And the next headline is medical artificial intelligence shows promise as caveats remain. So there's a doctor in Maryland, a board certified urologist and advisor to a digital health company in San Francisco. She believes that AI offers tremendous opportunity in healthcare. It allows us to gain insights into the largest amount of data generated in healthcare by supporting real world evidence. Advancements in AI could also support pathology, to assist with advancements in point of care for our patients, specifically with prostate cancer. Artificial intelligence could be utilized to analyze images for indications of malignancy. So this is a person who is optimistic about the future of AI in helping the medical industry become more effective and provide greater healing power. And then another headline in an article I read is a research team airs the messy truth about AI in medicine and gives hospitals a guide to fix it. So there is a messy truth to be had about AI. And then another article I have here says docs warn about AI's existential threat to humanity. I'm thinking your buddy might have read those articles too. Not that he had anything to do with
it. It's beginning to sound a little more like where he is coming from.
Yeah, what we have here is a very big dichotomy in opinions, just in the medical field. Some are all for it and some are not. So I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm not going to take our audience's day to figure it out. I'm going to turn everybody loose to go outside and play.
Absolutely. I know all of you are not in Arizona, but it's a gorgeous day, huh?
It's about time, huh? We sat here all winter in the miserable, miserable freezing cold.
Oh, my God. It was like high 50s some days. It was just brutal.
Oh, if there had been any snow, it would have melted immediately.
I know. Well, you know something? We're 75 cents down the pike here, so we need to go shut this bus down, bring it into the station. But before I do, I always like to remind people that Doug is a licensed agent nationwide and the District of Columbia. You can get a hold of him with questions, concerns, comments, anything you want to do at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. You can check us out on the website at medicareforthelazyman.com. Doug talked about the books. Doug talked about all the various ways that he has provided information to you, all kind of circling around Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023, which is the paperback. And there's also a hard copy version available, and the audio and the Kindle. But now, if you could go out and find a way to give us a rating on the podcast and the book, we would certainly appreciate it. It would help us out a lot because we are always up against it on the ratings, as most other companies are and most other media companies are. So if you could do that, that would be awesome. And we would appreciate it very much. So thank you for joining us. We always appreciate you being here, spending a few minutes of your time with us when we know you could have been 153 other places, but you weren't. You were here listening to Doug Jones for about 32 and a half minutes. the guy originally from Oklahoma, no more. He lives in Arizona now in his fortress of solitude up in the high mountains behind the city of Cave Creek. And I'm going to chalk him in. Oh, let's see. Oh, gosh. What are we going to do today?
It was toasty warm. It was toasty warm last time. I'm hoping for a replay of that.
Okay. I'm going to put you in at about 4,000 feet.
I can live with that. That's beautiful. Beautiful. And I can still play out in the sun. Thank you so much. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for attending our little confab. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.